I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse... Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. I got 3 pages of scriptures. Do you think we got time? Y'all have plans? Yeah, we had Big Grace House at 2. I can guarantee you we'll be okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Came to my heart the other day because of several folks that I know of and I have known of over the years that kind of have the idea that church is optional. Fellowship is, that church is optional. And this is not a message on how come you're not here. Believe me, it's not. But it is an encouragement to you, to me, you know, that fellowship, and this is going to define that here in Acts chapter 2, is fellowship and discipleship and body ministry to one another is extremely important to growth in the church. It's extremely important to growth in the church because folks who don't take advantage of or don't receive from the provision that God has made to disciple and to grow, then you become stagnant. It's like a child not having an education. You know, you just kind of show them where the food is in the house and in the bathroom, hopefully, and maybe a bathtub, you know, and they could actually, but you don't educate that child. You don't teach them anything. You don't teach them to read. You don't teach them to write. You don't teach them to do anything. And they don't have the capacity to know what to do, even though are we born again? Yes. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Can God do that? Yes. Is it His plan? Rarely. His plan is for you to be in fellowship. And again, you know, this is the choir. I'm talking to the choir. But what your answer is, though, to those who do not have that. I guess I can't go any further than this road. They fixed that. You used to be able to just go up and preach to Dave. You know, praise the Lord. But since Rebecca came all the way down here, I cannot move past her. She was down here this morning waving all of y'all forward before y'all got here. Now John, he agreed. So they were halfway back before this thing started. Amen. Paul and I could see the whites of their eyes. So when we come, and so the Holy Spirit is in you to teach you, but He also commands you in the Scripture time after time to come and to be a part of fellowship and a part of the body. Amen? And that's what's critical here. And well, let's teach us something we don't know. Well, what I'm going to teach you today is from the Scripture how this is necessary. And this is what you can do to go and declare that to somebody else. How many here have friends who are Christians, but they just can't see their way to get to a fellowship of any kind? Maybe not yours, because yours is weird, or yours is small, or yours is, Pastor Jim preaches too long, or whatever it might be. But they can't even see their way, to go down to the local, they can go to the local Baptist church for all I care. Just to start going somewhere where the Word of God is being preached. Amen. Amen. Huh?
Amen.
And as they are seeking God, The Holy Spirit will begin to pull you and to draw you. Every church where people are seeking God has those who are just barely there, but they're there. And they also have those who are there who become strong, stalwart believers who are discipling others in that environment. Amen? So, these are the most important things, is that we have the ability to have somebody speak into our life. Amen? And again, what we're talking about today, I'm going to try to not say amen more than 25 times. What we're going to try to do today is to encourage you and to equip you to have that ability to not to reason. You're evangelizing Christians. You're evangelizing believers. And no matter where they are, no matter where they come from, you know, if you, I mean, we'd love to have them here. That's great. But the issue is for you to be equipped to say to someone, to answer someone, it's an evangelism for the church. It is evangelism for discipleship. Amen? All right. That will keep me count them so I'll know when I have to quit. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, and here's the end. This is the end of the sermon that Peter was preaching after they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to read the whole sermon. I'm going to start from here. Verse 36 is last declaration to the folks gathered to hear the message that were coming around and heard them speak with unknown tongues and heard them all speak, and every man heard them all speak in his own language, the glorious works, the wonderful works of God. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, this is Peter, that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now look at verse 32. This is those who have heard the gospel, who have repented and been baptized and received. And he says, and they continued steadfastly. How many people was that? Well, 3,000 plus 120, I'm guessing. If we had 120 to start with that morning, and then all of a sudden now we had 3,000 more. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, that's what we do here. If you want to call it church, you know, that's a German word that got transliterated. You know, the word church was not in the Greek. The word ekklesia is the assembly. The assembling. I guess if you want to say the assemblies of God had it closer, they probably do. Because it's the assembly of God. That's what this is. So we're the assembly of God. The word church or kirk was basically put in there in the King James Version when it was translated into the English so that the king's the head of the church. So when he says come to church, you better come. Anything having to do with the church had to do with the king. So if you said anything about the church, people listened, because you could get in real big trouble if you didn't show up at church, because the king could, you know, come get you. You know, he had his deacons. The king had, that's when the deacons used to come get you. You know, it's like in the Puritan days, they would come put you in the stocks if you didn't go to church. Praise the Lord. We're thinking about bringing that back. I mean, they would do stuff to you. They'd cut your nose off. And that doesn't grow back. You know. And I mean, they would, praise the Lord. Christians are rough people. You know. But thank God, amazingly enough, God used the freedom that was in the Word of God to let the Holy Spirit draw you and put that into our nation's laws. So Pastor Jim cannot come to your house and have you arrested and bring you to church. You know, it's got to be up to the Holy Ghost. Thank God. So we got rid of those doctrines. And so that now, you know, the only person who can get you to church is you. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. Well, I praise God. I always love it when the Holy Spirit just, or somebody's wife or girlfriend or you know, uses all that stuff. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Okay, now let's look at that verse 42 again. And they continued steadfastly, verse 42 of chapter 2 of Acts. And they continued steadfastly. What does that mean?
That their face like a flint.
What verse is that? Well, it's in there. They steadfastly continued. Not, you know, well, we got tired, so we quit doing it. You know, we moved a little further out of town, so we quit going. You know, people just find every excuse in the world now. And the pastor is just preaching too long, or he's just preaching silly, you know. Well, then go find a place that's preaching something. Don't just quit going. Amen. Again, y'all are here. Y'all are here every week. What I'm doing is encouraging you to encourage somebody else. Don't just let them just die on the vine. Amen. Don't just let them die on the vine. Because we do that. We do a lot. Well, God'll reach them. God'll talk to them. You know, this is as much evangelism and discipleship. If you know somebody who just barely knows the Lord, or maybe they heard the Lord, met the Lord, and got burned, or had some bad experience, but always have that on the inside of you to be able to share that encouragement with them. Being in a fellowship and a body is so powerful and so important to be able to grow, to be able to have fellowship, to be able to have iron sharpening iron. Somebody is speaking into your life and to encourage you. Amen? This is important. And this is so powerful because the Holy Spirit has commanded us to do that. I'll pull this one in right away because everybody's thinking about this. This is the elephant in the room is... forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but even so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Fellowships should be filled. And so that's our heart, is to come and to declare to folks and to bring them in. So when you have that opportunity, when you have that family member or that coworker who, you know, it's something that's, you know, maybe a little difficult spot to overcome. Yeah, but when you have the opportunity to share that and to talk about your faith and to talk about Jesus and you talk about spiritual growth, but also talk about the opportunities that somebody may have to fellowship or to be discipled or to grow. Okay, let's read the rest of this passage in Acts. So they continued steadfastly. That is, not giving up, not slowing down. Whether it's, you know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, house church, whatever it might be, Sunday morning. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So all of these things are part of that. Now, you know, what do we do? We also do house churches. We want to have the opportunity for people to grow. We have the, you know, meetings various times during the week. But just to avail yourselves, not to be at every single thing all the time. But in our case, distance is a big deal, you know, for a lot of folks because, you know, we're not down the block, You know, like some folks have the church down the block, you know. And, hey, come here on Sunday, go to the church down the block, invade them. Invade those folks. Amen? That'd be powerful. I mean, you could go make a drop-off, make a delivery over there, you know, and just let them receive a little bit of what you got. What do you have? Well, are you a teacher? Well, maybe you're not. Are you a lover? Absolutely. I mean, you can bring love into a place that doesn't have any. Amen? You can bring love into a place that doesn't have any. You can just shine anywhere. So powerful. You can be a witness to the believers. I think they need it. I think they need you to be a witness. Just to show up. You don't have to teach. You don't have to show up, do anything more. I mean, you know what love is? Showing up. Love is showing up. I mean, when you go to your family reunion, go to your Christmas thing with your, well, we don't go there because they always argue with us or they don't let us say the prayer. We'll go anyway. Again, I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to those who y'all talk to. Have I made that clear more than once? Okay. This is an opportunity for y'all to have to walk in ministry. And yeah, certainly. I mean, you go down the street, go to the little Methodist church down the street on Wednesday night. You know, I mean they're meeting, and so that's an opportunity for you to shine, to declare the goodness of the Lord. Amen. All right. So they did all that. In 43, fear came upon every soul. Wow, fear came upon every soul. Now you can say, well, that was because of the Holy Ghost and the tongues and now there's 3,000 of them. You know, just because there was 3,000 of them, that might scare you. You know, and fear. But no, the fear was talking about the people who were in the fellowship with the disciples and the breaking of bread and the doctrine and the prayers. And the fear came upon them. So when you come in and steadfastly participate in the fellowship of the saints in the body, fear will come upon you, the fear of God, because you're not living all of your life in the presence of the world, but rather the fellowship of the saints. Again, teaching people. You're teaching people that this is where you grow. You haven't ever received anything from God. I know why. Because you're never among His people. You're never among those who can build you up and encourage you and who will love you. You don't need Uncle Sam to love you and the county health department to love you and Social Security, SSI to love you. You need a church that'll love you. Huh? I'm restraining myself. Y'all can say it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's helpful. So, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So I'm tying together fear of God and signs and wonders. Something having to do with that. Fear of God and signs and wonders seem to go together according to this particular passage. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Well, we know that. Doesn't mean everybody lives in the same house. They did that down in Houston for a while. We used to go down there. Church of the Redeemer. Clay, did you ever go down there? I mean, we went down there when they first got filled with the Holy Spirit down in the 70s. There's an Episcopal church down there, Church of the Redeemer, and they had people living. They had three or four families agreed to live in a house. That didn't last too many years. I don't think that's really what the Lord asked, finally intended. Yeah, because God says if the husband is the head of the home, it's not on the home, it's not, it's the household, and you got people running into each other on decision making and such. But they says they believed and had all things common. As far as they were concerned, if you need it, I got it, it's yours. That's the church. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Not parted them all to all men, but parted them to every man as they had a need. In other words, we filled up the coffers so we could make sure that everybody who had a need had one. It wasn't tied up in the gold coins, and the ability to buy groceries and clothing was not tied up in land. It wasn't tied up in assets that couldn't be quickly utilized. Well, okay, we need to give something to Danny and his wife because they're in trouble, or they're having a hard time, or they've been staying in Jerusalem and they're going to stay in town a little bit longer to see how this thing turns out. So we want to bless them. Amen? So see, all of these things, they didn't part and just live in a commune. What they did was is they set themselves in a position to be able to give to a need, to an immediate need. Right? Anybody who has any assets, especially land, or, you know, back then they had cattle and land and what all. It takes a while to sell things sometimes and get the right price for it. So that's part of business. Well, if you don't have any liquid, you can't. It's harder to give when things aren't just easily dispensed. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily, that's kind of like steadfastly. Okay, now let's look back up there. It says 42 says continued steadfastly. And then down here in 46 it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so we have the functions of the local church are the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's look over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, I'm going to read this from verse 1. Not the whole thing, but read it through from verse 1. Because I want to get a context for what Paul is teaching about, you know, the body of Christ and discipleship. And how God provided for that within the context of the assembly. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, if there's a one another involved, that means there's more than one of you. And forbearing one another in love. Forbearing kind of has the context of putting up with one another in love. Well, I don't want to go to church because there's people there. There's church, and worse than that, there are church people. They're going to try to get me to volunteer, try to get me to do something. Well, you're going to the wrong church. You should come here. I want to ask you to do a blessed thing. We just depend on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I felt I deserved that one. All right, so that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Of course, as you know, you and I know, walking worthy has to do with agreeing with God. With all lowliness, verse 2, and meekness under authority, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See, that's a work of the Holy Ghost. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So he says all that to preface what he's about to say. So he's already taken a look at the church. Then he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, One God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he descended up on high, and he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is also the same that ascended far above all things, all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Paul's parenthetical comment is talking about Jesus. It was Jesus, the one who descended into the lower parts of the earth, and then the one who ascended into heaven is the same one that led captivity captive, and he is the one who gave these gifts unto men. Look at verse 11. And he gave some, and here's what he gave. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So he gave these gifts. These are gifts. These are gifts given to the church, to those folks that are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, to those who have need of knowing that there is one body and one Spirit. So he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and who teach for the perfecting of the saints. Well, where are you going to get that? Where are they going to all show up? They're going to show up in the assembly. Go back to Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, it's here, the apostles are right here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors who teach. Pastors who disciple. So he gave these gifts for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. Well, if the saints don't show up, where are you going to perfect them? You're going to chase them down. Some do. However, so that's our encouragement to everybody. You say, well, I just don't seem to be making it. It just never has worked for me. Well, come back. Come back to where you're taught. Come back to where you'll know. And come back to where you're here. Come back to where you'll be built up. Come back to where you'll be instructed. Well, that one didn't work for me. Well, come to mine. Come with me. You're giving that first offer right there. Just come with you. You know, don't try to send them off somewhere you don't know. Well, that's not quite my style. Well, next question is, what's close by? Where will you go? Encourage it. And then skip yours one day and go with them. We won't miss you much. Skip one of ours. Y'all are grown up. You know, you can. It's not like you can't just go off and help somebody and help them get started somewhere. Amen? Help somebody. This is part of your ministry. It's not mine. It's yours. I guess it could be mine. I'm going to say it's yours. So this job of the church is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. See, somebody's not going to grow up if they don't know, if they don't hear the Word. You know, the Word ignites, the Spirit ignites the Word. But if you don't have any Word, there's nothing for the Spirit to ignite. I believe this sincerely, is that Paul was full of the Word of God. Remember, he said, I knew the Word of God upwards and down, downwards, sideways, left and right, top to bottom. I was the best of the best, the top of the top. What good did it do him? Nothing. Until the Holy Spirit hit him. What happened? This here. This whole New Testament is what happened when the Holy Spirit hit the Word that was put on the inside of Paul. That when that Holy Spirit hit that Word, it lit a fire, and in fact, brought about the doctrinal statements for the New Testament church based on what the Scripture had taught in the Old Testament and what Jesus had taught. And then the Holy Spirit brought this about. So I'm telling you, for those, as you know, is when the Word of God is preached and hits the Holy Spirit, then those two combine for an explosion that will set you free and that will set you in a place of love, that will cause you to walk in love and not to hate, not to get irritated. How many get irritated in your flesh sometimes? Well, that's just your flesh. Remember what Lori was talking about? Now, if y'all been here 11:15, Lori was sharing the preface to the message this morning of how that your spirit was known from the foundation of the world. God knew you before you were born. And a vision she shared, how Jesus just loved that spirit, which is you. Then he was so sad that you ended up in this clumsy body and brain and soul that you ended up with here. And but he's got a way around it. It's called to put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to bring you from one degree of glory to the next. And if I got it wrong, she can tell you later. Thank God. Now keep looking. So this is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's what's happening to you, is you are beginning to edify the body of Christ by going out and by ministering to these folks who have no ministry. Start out with that, but don't take them on. Don't take them home with you. Your wife may not have that extra bedroom ready. You know, you're not going to become the church for them. What they need to do is learn to grow up and learn to hear the Holy Spirit for themselves and learn to bring their family in. So we have so many people, I believe this, is so many people who are actually believers and Christians who love the Lord, but the enemy has really just deprived them of an education. And deprive them of discipleship because they have this thing. Anybody got a thing? Anybody here have a thing about something that it just won't let you do certain things? Well, I just never go over there. Well, I never participate in that kind of a thing. But some folks who are Christians, who love God, but they will not go to church. They will not. They have been burned and they will not go. And so what is incumbent upon those of us who love the Lord and see and have received the value of discipleship, like we're talking about Acts 2, is to bring them along for the perfecting of this, because he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, which is y'all, for the work of the ministry, which is them, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you bring those folks in who need to be in, they're going to start growing, and they're going to start growing up in the Lord. There are gifts out there that are not being utilized, amen. There are gifts out there that are not being utilized. They're just you know, sitting vacant, sitting dormant. There's gifts in here that are sitting dormant. Let the Holy Spirit work, amen. Lord, what do you want? Well, show me and put me in the right place. Open the right door, put me in the right place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for transforming me, changing me, taking me out of my fear of man and fear of me and put me in the fear of God. Verse 13. Till we all come, all of this is going to continue steadfastly till we all see the faith effectual working, the effective working in the measure of every part. Every part works. When God puts the church together, every part works because every part has got a God-given place to be and place to thing to do. It's like your heart, your liver, and your lungs, and your every part of you has got something to do. If I were to cut off your big toe, you would think life was over. I mean, you know, you would be upset. That's how the church ought to be. If that big toe gets stumped, you know, what are you going to do? The rest of your body, I mean, it just all emergency vehicles to that toe. Isn't that right? Anybody ever done that? I guess you hadn't ever done that. I have. Middle of the night. Janet's like, "What happened?" So I'm very
animated.
Thank you. Now, have I ever sworn when that happened?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
No, really. Thank God.
Inside.
I mean, I've done.
On the surface.
Hallelujah, Jesus! Thank you.
No, you just.
Boy, that hurt.
You just moan real loud.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, all, everything is going to that toe. You know, all attention is going to that toe right there, and so it's critical. This is a critical issue. You know, and that's how it is when every part of the body, when somebody in the body is having trouble. Is that where everything is all important about helping that member of the body. Amen? Because you need that member. I need that toe. Oh, Lord, I hope it's not broken. You know, I need that. I mean, that is something that is desperate here. And you have to understand that every part of the body is necessary. We might talk about that next time because I guess I'm running out of time here. There's a guy behind me. Strapping on his instrument. So the purpose of our growing up and being in fellowship and doctrine and prayers is that we might grow up into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Not being deceived. Having the opportunity to be deceived, or less opportunity, let's put it that way. Less opportunity to be saved because we don't have anybody speaking into us. We don't have anybody who's a body growing together to encourage us and to build us up. We're out there in the little house on the end of the block, and old Mr. So-and-so, and he got saved when he was 9, and he got hurt in the church when he was 25, and he hadn't been back since. How many years wasted? How many years wasted for that person who has not been retrieved?
A spirit of offense.
A spirit of offense. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Go back to verse 4. See, if you read the whole chapter and not just start at verse 4:11, you know, you really begin to see the value of the church, of the body, of that Paul is talking about. Because he starts out with the body's kind of in trouble. All right? That we'd be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, sleight of men, cunning craftiness. I love how this stuff just keeps going on and on and on. Paul is a lot of fun. But speaking the truth in love, but rather, you could put the word rather in there, but instead, speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into Christ Jesus in all things, which is the head. From whom, out of Him, the whole body is joined perfectly together and held together by that which every part supplies. according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Somebody go home and just meditate on that verse right there. From whom? Okay, 15 and 16. Just meditate on that. And say, see, here's how, it's like, here's how it happens. Here's how the body grows up and it begins to produce and reproduce. According to the effectual working by every part doing its part. And again, this is not about you muscling it up. It's about you being in the presence of God, hearing the Word of God, worshiping, spending time in His presence, and letting the Holy Spirit direct and direct you and move you. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not after other, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, when Lori was sharing this morning, she talked about your soul being ruling. That's what it's talking about. Is that don't be caught up in the vanity of your mind. Your mind learns all kinds of garbage from this world as to how to respond to various stimulus. All stimulus must be run through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver you and to cause you to walk in love. So this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you hereafter don't walk as other Gentiles walk, that is, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened by being alienated from the life of God. Now, how are we alienated from the life of God? We're alienated from His people, such as they are. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, having given themselves, this is just the Gentiles, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, the Gentile and the Gentile world, have given themselves unto all uncleanness and greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man the truth with his neighbor, co-worker. For we are members one of another. Be angry, and you'll be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands that thing which is good. Side note, what did this guy do in this verse? Let him that stole steal no more. What's the next part of the verse say? Let him labor doing what? Working with his... You can't cut people's hands off and expect them to work. I'm just saying. You know, the punishment in some countries and religions is to cut people's hands off. Scripture doesn't agree with that. He said, let the guy labor working with his hands. Ask later. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Boy, that's a whole message. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, and be you kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. These are all works of the Holy Spirit, by the way. These are all works of the Holy Spirit that transform you. Amen? It's not like you're going to be able to quit doing all that. But as you fellowship, as you spend time in the presence of God, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, you know, Somebody said, well, the Bible said you didn't have any need that any man would teach you, but the Holy Ghost would teach you. That's just if you find yourself in a place where there is no teacher. Nobody has that excuse here in Dallas or Fort Worth. There's plenty of them. Amen? Amen. I hope you don't feel like I was on your case today, but what my heart is to minister to those who don't, who have determined that they're going to not be in fellowship. And so make it incumbent upon you to bring them in, or bring them someplace. Like I said, if they won't drive downtown, then take them down the street. Go with them. Plug them in. Plant them in a place. And help them. Plant them in a place that's not bad. Let them begin their ministry. And you teach them. You start something with that, you're going to be actually discipling that person. Because they'll actually begin to come back to you, and you'll be able to feed into them. Amen? Hallelujah. Kim Sherry, how's it going? You learning? You still going to school? Okay, still over to CFNI? Okay. Yeah, she's going to, Kim Sherry's going over to Christ for the Nation. You going back? Again? Another? How long you been there?
2 years.
2 years? Just graduated high school last month. These kids grow up so fast. Esther, how old are you? If you don't know, that's my child. If you didn't recognize her, because y'all just been gone a year and you didn't recognize her either. Amen. And that Titus, man, he's just...
He's an adult.
He's running the show. He's out making a living. That's why he's not here today. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Kim Sherry, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to pray out loud in public. Okay? Would you stand up? Close us in prayer.